I greet each of you in the worthy name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I trust that each of us have come before His presence before we ever came to church this morning, and we glorified Him. But it's a blessing when we can gather unitedly as a body of believers to glorify our Lord. So why have we gathered this morning? I would like to say that one reason is because of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd like to talk about the resurrection a bit this morning. This past week, I was reading in 1 Corinthians 15 where Paul writes some of the reasons why the resurrection really is necessary. And our Lord, as it states in Mark chapter 16, He was risen early on the first day of the week. And since then, many of God's people have been meeting the first day of the week in remembrance of that resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, invite your attention to that chapter. Be reading portions of it. Paul starts off in verse 1. Saying, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And so he's starting off here saying, I am declaring to you the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And the gospel, what I preached, is what leads to salvation, by which also ye are saved. And he sort of gives it. It's the death of Christ. It was his burial, and it was his resurrection, according to the Scriptures. How important was the resurrection for our salvation? Quite a number of years ago, was a Mr. Ackley, was a minister, and he was listening to a preacher. I think it was Easter morning, as I recall, and the preacher was saying, you know, this morning it's really not that important if the resurrection happened or not. The important thing is that Christ died for us. And it agitated Mr. Ackley. And he got up and he preached on the resurrection that morning. And that evening he preached another message on the resurrection. And he still wasn't satisfied. And he got his pen out and he penned the words, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. And that's sort of the history of where that song came from. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. In Romans chapter 4, verse 25, it says that he was raised again for our justification. The resurrection is an important ingredient in our salvation. And then later on, Paul talks a bit more about the importance of it. In verse 12, the question is raised, how say some among you that there is no resurrection? I don't know where those questions came from. The Sadducees had not believed in the resurrection, and I don't know, was this a carry-on from that or not? So verse 12, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. And so here Paul is just simply saying, if there is no resurrection, it's useless for us to meet here this morning. Our faith really has nothing, no foundation to rest on. Our faith is vain. And if our faith is vain, you know, well, I'm not quite sure. How do we relate to that? If our faith is useless, how would we relate to life without faith? It's a picture of despair. And I think, like verse 18 says, they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. The idea is fully destroyed, obliterated. That's the end. We die, and there's nothing after that. But that's not the end of it. And I just like the way Paul comes with verse 20 and says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. I'm not sure what all the firstfruits mean, but I think maybe at least in part, well, in Old Testament we have records where some people were raised from the dead. But Jesus, even before he experienced the resurrection, he said, that's who I am. I am the resurrection. And so it's not just something that Christ experienced, but it's who he is. And I don't know that I can fully explain that. That's who he is. Maybe it's a bit, well, he also said, I am the resurrection and the life. He's life. And so death could not keep him down. He was raised from the dead. Sometimes, you know, we've grappled with the question, what if Christ would have sinned? What if he would not have raised from the dead? And just think C.S. Lewis states, we're not told what would have been, we're told what is. And so we don't need to really hash too long with those questions, what if? Going on later in the chapter, verse 35, some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other kernel. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. And so in the resurrection, and later have some more verses, what dies, well, earlier Christ said, unless a grain of wheat goes into the ground and dies, it abides alone. Now, grain, when you plant a kernel of wheat, you expect it to reproduce more of itself. It grows, and there's much more, almost identical kernels of wheat. Now, when self dies, what comes out? Is it self-multiplied? I hope not. I think that analogy doesn't work quite there. But I think what Christ is teaching, when there's a death and then a resurrection, there's so much more life there. And so when we die to self, the spiritual life that we experience is so much more life than just the self-life that we experienced beforehand. And I think the same is true when this body, the physical, dies and we experience the final resurrection. There's so much more to life than what we have experienced here. And so we rejoice in that resurrection. In verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so this morning we just rejoice in the resurrection. In Romans 6, just like the way Paul also writes there, how being buried with Christ, so that like as the glory of the Father raised up Jesus, that's the same glory that can raise us up to a newness of life. Philippians 3, 10 and 11 says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. We know it, but sometimes we find it hard to maybe put it into practice, to remember that to experience the resurrection, there has to be a death first. And if you want to experience and know the power of the resurrection, you need to know what it means to die. Luke 7, 23, Christ tells us to daily take up our cross, that instrument of death, and follow him. And as we do that, we can also daily experience that resurrection power of Jesus Christ. May that be our experience. May we kneel in prayer. Father in heaven, this morning we are just so grateful for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that we can gather together as a body of believers to remember that Jesus was raised from the dead, and that we can also experience that resurrection power within our lives as we die to self. Lord, I just pray that you would direct each one that is here this morning. Help us to walk in obedience, to say no to self, to die to self, and to just experience that walk of obedience with Jesus Christ, be more and more conformed to his image every day. So Lord, I just pray that this morning would be a day of worship, a day where we can be refreshed in our bodies, our souls, and our spirits. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.